Okay, let's get our Bibles open to Psalms chapter number 3 tonight. Psalms chapter number 3. Psalms chapter number 3 this evening. We're going to look a little bit tonight about how are you sleeping? And I know that somebody's like, sleeping? You mean you're supposed to sleep in church? Technically, you're not supposed to sleep in church, but it happens every once in a while. So I had somebody tell me one time the way that they get put to sleep the best is by putting one of my sermons on at night, puts them right out. I think they were making a joke, but I hope, who knows. So Psalms chapter number 3, you're going to see here, David is fleeing from Jerusalem. And as soon as we hear that, we're thinking, David fleeing from Jerusalem. Was it Saul or was it Absalom? Well, it was when he was being chased by his son who was trying to overthrow his kingdom, and his son rebelled against him and stole the hearts of the people, and he was coming in and he caused the whole kingdom, at least the majority of the kingdom, to turn their hearts to Absalom. And Absalom, as he took the throne, did some wicked things, and then he focused on his father and was going to go chase his father and hunt his father down and kill his father and become king of Jerusalem. And here in the story, David is writing a psalm, as the Bible says, as he's fleeing from Absalom. But it's kind of interesting. It says in verse number 5, I laid me down and slept, and I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. So while he is running from his son, running for his life, and once again, there is a group of people, most of us are familiar in this past couple years, we've gone through 2 Samuel, we looked at this story in details about Absalom and how Ahithophel changed and went on Absalom's side, and Shimei sat there and was critical and threw rocks at him, all those different things. He is going through a very, very difficult, maybe one of the most trying times of his entire life, and he says here in verse number 5, you know, I got good sleep that night. And I found that was interesting, that most of the time, most of us, when we're going through very trying and very difficult times, we struggle with sleeping because we're concerned and we're worried or we're overwhelmed. Now, first of all, when I talk about how well you're sleeping, I don't want you to say, hey, Pastor, I'm older. I had to get up and use the bathroom a number of times tonight. I don't ever get good sleep. We're not talking about that. We're talking about not trusting in the Lord to take care of us, and we worry and we get burdensome about things in this world that we allow that to rob us of our sleep. Another thing I'm not talking about is when God wakes us up in the middle of the night because he wants us to spend some time with him. And there are times when we do that. I don't know how many times I can say that I've been woken up at night and I try to get back to sleep because I like my sleep. But sometimes there's times when I'll go downstairs and I'll spend some time alone with the Lord and pray for something specifically. There are times when we pray throughout the night or pray a little bit longer at night because we're trying to get something accomplished. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in our lives when we have circumstances and we let that circumstances rob the joy and rob our peace that God offers because we're more worried about what's going on than just giving it over to the Lord and trusting in it. And I don't know about you, I struggle a little bit when I have the night before I go to camp sometimes. I had to get up really early at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And sometimes at that nighttime, you got all these different things. You got to pack all the things, make sure all these different things are in line. Sometimes it's not that I'm worried about it. My mind just does not shut off. And I cannot sleep well because I'm concerned about making sure everything was done. And so I don't get good sleep. And I don't know about you, but that is the case where a lot of people spend their lives, instead of trusting in the Lord and giving it over to God, they will worry themselves to the point where they cannot get the rest that God desires for them to have. So let's look at this in Psalms chapter number 3 with this story. Imagine this is as Absalom, it says, as you see at the beginning there, the little description, Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. That's written underneath in your Bible. Most Bibles would have that underneath Psalms chapter number 3. Verse number 1. I like the way one preacher had outlined it. It comes in 4 different parts, verses 1 and 2, verses 3 and 4, verses 5 and 6, and verses 7 and 8. Verses 1 and 2 is David's problem. Verse number 3 and 4, verse 3 and 4 talks about David's prayer. Verse 5 and 6 talking about David's peace. And verse number 7 and 8 talks about David's protection. And it's just a wonderful story. It's something that God's helped me with here recently and kind of something God encouraged me with. And I think it's going to be an encouragement to you tonight about how to sleep well. Verse number 1, the Bible says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? David's speaking about his problem here. Remember, he is leaving, he is running from Absalom, and he's saying, look, it's increasing. So when it first began, he heard about Absalom and he was coming. But as he was running and as he was fleeing, he was hearing about more things. Shimei come up and began to trouble him. Then he hears about the advice of Ahithophel. So not only was there a problem, and not only was he running, his problem was it was getting bigger. It was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You guys ever had those problems before? When things seemed like, okay, maybe I could handle this, maybe God could work this out, but it was increasing to him. And the kingdom that he thought that the people loved him, they thought that he had their hearts. Now everyone is turning to Absalom, and he is seeing that as his problem is going and as he keeps on leaving, he's hearing, this is a problem, and this is a problem. This is a person who's turned away from us, and this is a person who's turned away from us. The army has gone to him, and there is a group of men, and I don't remember the exact total of numbers, but was in the hundreds that went with David to fight with David and fight for David. But as you see here, how they increase that trouble me. He's hearing it, and the problem seems to get bigger and bigger and bigger as they're going. And he says, many are they that rise up against me. So not only is it increasing in the problems, but people are actually beginning now to rise up. People are feeling confident. Sometimes when they were king, you know, nobody would ever talk to David. He was king. They would, but now it seems like the people that have problems with him, like an Ahithophel, like a Shimei, as the problems are coming, they are beginning to say even more. They're rising up against him. It's not just, oh, I don't like you. Now they're beginning to be threatening to him. And in verse number 2, it says, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. So as we come to the story, David's saying there's a problem here. Number one is the fact that there is great trouble that's increasing against me, but also they're making the statement. They're going the farthest. They're saying, hey, look, there's no hope for him. There is no help for him. There is not even in God. God's not going to even be able to save him here. God is not going to be able to help him here. Now, we say, why in the world did they say that? Many of us know about that great sin that David did with Bathsheba and against Uriah. And that they really, truly did give a ground for people to say some negative things. Like Shimei, when he was saying, thou bloody man, he was referring to Saul, but also referring to the story that happened with Bathsheba and Uriah. You know, many people knew about that, especially in the palace. But the Bible even talks about it gave God's enemies a chance to blaspheme him because of that case. So it was something that was even maybe became public knowledge. And here he's saying, these men are not only making accusations and coming up against me, they're saying, you're not going to help me, God. The one that I have depended upon, the one I have written psalms for, the one that I have my own heart after, they're saying, you're not going to help me. And that happens sometimes. Sometimes when troubles come and they seem to mount and they seem to get bigger and bigger, it gets to this moment in time and they says, even God can't help you here. But I think they're not even saying, even God can't help you. I don't think they're saying that. I think they're saying, God's not going to help you. You've done wrong, you've sinned, you're a bloody man, and because of that, God's not going to be willing to help you here. And if David did not have his confidence in God, he'd be a guy that couldn't sleep at night. He would be a perfect candidate, a person that would become very discouraged, very overwhelmed, and very out of sorts. And that's what it says here at the end of this verse. The last word is Selah. Now, Selah, we technically do not know what that word means, but what most people think it means is the last is like a pause and a music rest, and it means to stop and think about what's just been said. And that's what most people would say. Technically, you know, it's something that's a reasonable thing to consider. So David is saying all these things, and he considers. And he's considering these people saying, God's not with you. God's not going to help you. God's not going to make this happen. You are done. You are gone. You can go ahead, throw him in the grave, put the dust on top of him. He is dead. There's too many people coming against him. And he thinks about the things that have been saying, and he comes back in verse number 3, and he uses the first word as but. They may be saying that, but David knows something different. They may be bringing up his past sin, but David knows that he's gotten right with God. Yes, he has done wrong in the past, and yes, the sword is not going to depart from his house, and yes, he's going to have family problems still, even till he dies, but he knows that God is going to help him. And I love verse number 3. It says, but thou, O Lord, And then he begins to give a description. So verses 1 and 2 was David's problem. There's people rising up against him. There's people who are attacking him. There's people saying that God will not help you. And verse number 3, David's prayer is this. He praises the Lord and he says, "Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me." Now, he's not just talking, when we think of the word shield, we think of it as something that is going to protect us and it's just something that's going to protect the vital organs. I was at the Museum of the Albemarle the other day on Monday for the first time ever. I've never been there. It was more impressive than I thought it was going to be. But it had some type of shield from somewhere that a man would wear and was about this tall. And I'm thinking, okay, I put that shield on, it's going to come out to right about here on me, and it's going to leave a whole lot of things that can get attacked. And sometimes when you think about the word shield, you're thinking about something that's going to cover and you kind of hide behind. The shield they're talking about here, Bible, in the Bible here, this verse, is talking about something that actually covers you completely. It's something that you can hide inside almost. Sort of like when they talk about a mother hen will take its their chickens and their chicks and hide it underneath their wing to where there is nothing that can get to them. It is perfectly safe. At least they feel perfectly safe. That the shield here they're talking about, David is saying here, hey, look, the world is coming up against me. My problems seem to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And now they're challenging me. And now they're saying, God can't even not help me, but God will not be able to help me. And I think about this, and I remember something. God, they may be saying these things, but you're my shield. You're my covering. You're my buckler. I find my rest, and I find my hope, and I find everything in you. Then he continues on. Not only does he say that he's his shield, but he's my shield for me, but then he says, my glory. Now, there's a couple things when you think about these words that David is considering all these different things that happened. David's saying, God, you, Lord, you're my glory. And that word glory is a beautiful and interesting word. We think about the glory when it talks about the beauty and the majesty of God. But here I think it's talking about the renown that God has, the honor that God has for David has for God. God, you're my glory. You're who I live for. You're who I want to honor. And in this world, in this life, you are my shield, you protect me, but my life is there to be an honor to you, and I want you to use my life to bring glory to you. And even though these men are saying, these people are saying that I'm done, I'm over with, this is my life, but I want you to get glory in this. I see the future, even though things may be hard here, but when God brings me from the wilderness back to the kingdom, you know who's going to get glory? God is. When God takes those thousands upon thousands that come after me, and my hundreds are able to overcome them, and I'm going to be restored back to the kingdom someday, you know who's going to get the glory? God is. So when we think about when we're going through hardships and when we're going through trials and we're going through troubles, and it's easy to get downcast, it's easy to get suffering, you know, easy to feel sorry for yourself, when we consider, yes, the world might say, God can't help you here. God can't do this. But David's like, no. He says, you're my shield for me. You protect me. But my life is made to bring glory to you. That even though things may look dark today, someday is going to bring glory to you. Isn't that true so many times when things are hard and things are tough and when God sees us through something, he can get glory out of this? Sometimes I wonder when something bad happens or when something happens the way it's not supposed to. I ask God sometimes, how can you get glory out of this? I know you can. I believe what the Bible says, that he can make all things work together for good. On Friday night in our Bible lesson, we talked about how Paul and Silas got thrown in a Bible lesson in Kids Crusade. Paul and Silas got thrown into jail, and we talked about how God can take things and make things work together for good and how we can trust in him and we can always be joyful because the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, that we can be joyful and that God can take something like getting a beating and getting thrown in jail from Paul and Silas to where the Philippian jailer gets saved and his whole family. He can take something that's bad and get glory out of that when we respond the right way. So he's saying here, hey, look, I have a problem in verses 1 and 2, but my prayer is this. I'm going to praise you, Lord, because number one, you are my shield, you're my protector, and you are my glory. And the next phrase is what's helped me before and has helped me recently, the lifter of mine head. I like that. You never been around somebody who's kind of downcast and you've seen maybe in TVs or maybe you've done it yourself and they're ashamed of something or they're really under, and they just kind of lift their head up and say, it's going to be okay. I see that picture there, and I can see how somebody could be discouraged and how David's head could be down and how David's head could be sad. And he's there, and he's walking, and he's leaving, and he's facing the Shimeites, and he's hearing about the Ahithophels, and he's kind of putting his head down and says, what else could happen? What else could happen? And then they get to Selah spot, and he begins thinking, you know what? God is my shield. God is my glory. I want God, my life to be glory. And I lift my head up because he is my shield and my glory. He is the one that can take the bad and make it into good. He is the one that is the one I depend upon. He is the one that I can trust in. And that's when you come into verse number 4. He says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. And so that's when David comes, he says, they're saying in verse number 2, there is no help from him in God. And I have a line drawn down there. But David says, I cried out to him. And you see how it says here, with my voice. Now, why would they put the words my voice there? I mean, what's the point of that? Well, how do most of us pray? Most of us pray silently. Now, on Wednesday nights, we pray sometimes because you're praying with someone, you pray out loud. And you don't pray for a show. You don't sound the trumpet so everybody can hear you pray. But when you're praying with your partner, you pray. Or if you're praying by yourself, normally you pray silently. David's saying here, I'm praying out loud with my voice. He's saying, I want to make sure God hears me. Yes, God hears. But sometimes when you speak with your voice out loud, it becomes an articulation that it becomes even more serious. And as you're saying here, I cried unto the Lord. And I can see David here. He says, you know, I was going through these problems in verse 1 and 2, and I began to cry out to the Lord, but it wasn't enough to just stay silent. I cried out to the Lord with my voice. And why is that important? It's probably because people around him are hearing. You think about it, that he's there, and they're in the wilderness, and people there are protecting him. I don't think it's too much to assume that there would probably be people nearby, and they can hear David praying and crying out to the God with my voice. And then he says, the Lord heard him. People are going to tell you, God can't help you. God doesn't care. But David is saying, he is my shield, he is my glory, and he is the one who is the lifter of my head. He lifts my head up. So if you're discouraged, if you begin to think and you begin to meditate and you begin to focus on God's word, he lifts my head up, not in a prideful fashion, but in a way that I can look to glory and I keep my eye on him. I don't need to be discouraged. I don't need to be looking at the circumstances that are around me. I can cry out to God with my voice, with passion, and I can look up and I can see that he has lifted my head. I don't have to live in those circumstances, but instead my head can be lifted. Let's keep on going. As you see it, and once again, remember, he is fleeing from Absalom. He is taking time to sing these songs. He's be taking these times to and maybe encourage the people around him. But verses 5 and 6 talks about David's peace, and this is why I kind of like it. He says, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me around about. Now, picture this. You are not planning on leaving the kingdom. You're taking maybe 1,000 people with you, including your family, and they're leaving some people behind. And you're taking these people, and you are heading and rushing out to the wilderness to be able to stay away from Absalom. Imagine that first night, or maybe that second night as they're traveling. They're there. And if you walked in on that scene there and you saw all these people, you can imagine there would be guards there, wouldn't there? I mean, that would be easy to see. There's David's mighty men there. They're there, and what are they doing? They probably have David somewhere, and they have David's family there, and they're probably protecting them. And you can imagine, in that night, most of the people that are there, there's probably not a lot of people that are sleeping well. There's probably people up there that are worrying. There's probably people up there and some that are there protecting, obviously. But there's people there that are troubled. They hear a noise and they jump up because they're fearful and they're wondering what's going to happen. They're trying to figure out how to fix everything. And that's not what David says here. I love this when he's saying that, hey, I got a great night of sleep that night. Why is that? Because it says that I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. That word sustain means to strengthen, to support physically or mentally, meaning that he knew that God was going to take care of him. And if we walked on that scene, we would probably be so worried and we'd probably be so concerned that we wouldn't get a wink of sleep that night. And David is singing his song here, and he's saying, They're saying the Lord's not going to help me, and I'm saying that I know God heard my prayer and who God is, my shield for me and my glory and my lifter of my head, that I was able to sleep and able to sleep fine. And then he goes and says in verse number 6, he says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against round about. He's boasting, but he's not boasting in himself. He's boasting in God. He says, I'm not even going to be afraid if things even get worse than they are today. I can have trust and I can have confidence in my Lord. I can have the peace of God in my life to be able to rest and find my strength and comfort in God. So why do we worry so much? Why do we become overwhelmed so much? Now, I'm not telling us that we don't take advantage and we don't thoughtfully and carefully think about things, and we don't do things haphazardly. That's not biblical. But many a times when people become so anxious and so worried, it robs them of their joy, it robs them of their sleep, it robs them of the opportunity to be a blessing and give God glory with their lives. David here is saying something completely different, that as David's running for his life, that he's saying, I can find my comfort, my hope, and my strength, and my peace in God. Verses 7 through 8, even in verse number 6, once again, if there was even 10,000, even if it continued to get bigger and bigger and bigger, I'm still not going to be afraid. Can you say that in your life? Now, sometimes it's like, okay, when my son was traveling over in Africa and he was in Ethiopia, and if he got stuck in Ethiopia, would I get scared? I probably worry a little bit. I wasn't afraid, you know, because he got from the one airplane to the other airplane, but if he would have missed his airplane and he's stuck there without anybody to help him, you start wondering what you're going to do next. But whether he was on the airplane to Ethiopia or from the Ethiopia, he was still in God's hands. Am I going to be concerned and worried about that? Or doesn't matter where the circumstances are, I can still have confidence in God if I'm in God's will. Verses 7 and 8 speaks of God's protection. And I like this. It says, arise, O Lord, save me. So what is he saying? He's asking God to stand up for him because he knows the battle's the Lord's. Isn't that the wonderful thing in our Christian life? The battle is not ours, it's God's. God has brought us to certain spots, and we are spiritually fighting in this battle, but he's the one that gives us the strength. He's the one that gives us the ability to sustain. He's the one that's our shield. He's the one that will get glory out of all this. If we would just do what we are supposed to do and have faith and have confidence and continue on, guess what? God can fight the battle for you. Remember when the nation of Israel went to the Red Sea and they were there and they were afraid and they're back there and, you know, Moses had to tell them to stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. You know, God's going to fight for you. And in the things that you're going on, just be faithful, be true. Let God fight for you. And here he says, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. Now, listen, it's kind of interesting. It's to me, when I'm reading this and as a studying, it's like a comparison to wild beasts here. He says, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. He's saying that they have made them unable to devour me. They would devour me with their words. They would devour me with their mouth. But God has taken and he has hurt their cheekbone. You know, it's kind of hard to chew when you have a broken jaw. If you got a broken jaw, you're not going to be able to devour. If you're an animal and you can't, it's something that they're not going to be able to devour you. And that's what he's saying here. Not only has he hurt their cheekbone, but he also has broken their teeth to make them unable to destroy them. Even though they wanted to destroy David, David's saying, look, arise, O Lord, fight for me. Save me, oh my God. And sometimes that's what we must do, is go to the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to fight this battle. I want you to get glory in this. I trust in you and have my confidence in you. I'm trusting in you to take care of me, even though they want to destroy me, even though they want to devour me, even though they want to harm me. I'm trusting in you, Lord, to take care of me. Arise in this situation. Save me from those that want to harm me. Save me from those who want to hurt me. Oh my God. In verse number 8, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Now, David, in his ability to fight And David and his ability to be a warrior, which he was, now obviously he's older at this time in life, but he was the one that fought Goliath. He was the one when Saul said, go kill some Philistines for my son, for my to have my daughter's hand in marriage. He went and killed twice as many. And David is the one that did many great battles and wars, but he's saying, this is not my fight. God, I want you to rise up and fight this, because the only way we're going to see this happen is when you cause the salvation to happen. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. That last phrase is, thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. God wants to put his blessing on you. God wants to show his unmerited favor in your life. But how does that happen? It's when we learn to trust in him, when we learn to believe in him, when we learn to have confidence in him, when we learn to say, God, no matter what's going on physically or mentally in my life, I know you can sustain me. No matter what's happening in my life, I want you to get glory out of it. And even though all the things that were going on and everything seemed like it was overwhelming, he says, I could put my head to bed that night and sleep well, and awake knowing that God took care of me and that God will take care of me. So what is going on in your life today that is going to cause you to worry and fret? Like right now, we could be worried about that animal making that noise over there. And whatever that noise, that croaking, is that a frog? Is that what that is? It's been loud and annoying, but it stopped for most of the service. I could sit there and worry about that. Well, God's in control. God can still speak to your hearts, even though we can ignore that. See? So, but at the same time, you know, where is our confidence and our trust in? Is it in the Lord? So what are you worried about? Is it a relationship that you don't feel like you have any control over? You know, you don't have control over it anyway. It's God that's in control. Maybe it's school coming up for some young people. Worried about a teacher. Worried about a situation. You can rest in the Lord. You can cry out to him and he will hear from you. And he will hear from you. And it says, in of his holy hill, even in his high and lofty position. So why do we worry so much? Why do we let it rob us of our joy? Now, I don't think we should put on a fake face, but I do think we could be joyful all the time. I don't think Paul and Silas were being hypocritical when they were singing in this present cells. Could I have done that? I'd like to think I would have. But how is that? That's something God gets glory out of. But when I become angry, when I become mad, when I become frustrated, and when I throw it away and say, no way that God can help here, I guess I have to give up and throw in the towel, God can lift your head. Don't look at all those circumstances and be overwhelmed. Let God lift your head up by believing that he is your shield, by believing he is your seeking his glory. Let him lift up your head. Let him sustain you. I don't know, there's been times in my life when I needed my head lifted up. Sometimes when things seem like they're so hard and so tough, so many things going on, have no clue how it's going to happen, no clue how it's going to all work out. But then I spend a few minutes with the Selah, remembering God's the one in charge, God's the one in control. You think about what David's thoughts might have been. You know, God protected me against Goliath. God protected me against Saul. God protected me against at Ziklag, when those guys were going to stone me. God's been faithful to me throughout all this time. And even though everybody in the past might have said, even God can't help you here, or even God's not going to want to help you here, I can remember he was my shield then. He got glory then. I was discouraged there, and God lifted my head there. I was able to sleep and wake up, and God sustained me and kept me through that time and made me stronger. I cried unto the Lord. He answered me. The salvation is the Lord. When I took my hands off of that, God came through like he does every single time, and he lifted my head. So tonight, I know we started the message with, you know, how well are you sleeping? And I know that some of you might be, that doesn't make any sense. But are you letting God lift your head up? Is it easy to get discouraged and overwhelmed? Yes, the devil's very good at what he does. I could not imagine what the devil was telling David as he was fleeing. Your own son hates you. Your own son stealing your kingdom. Your own son. Where's your God at now? And then you got Shimei reminding him of a sin with with Bathsheba and Uriah and throwing the stones. It doesn't seem like it get worse. And then one of your closest friends, Ahithophel, joins the other side. The devil was probably wreaking havoc in his mind. But he took time to think and says, doesn't matter what the world says, he's my shield, he's my glory, and he's the lifter of my head. He sustained me through this. I don't know what you're going through today, but I'm sure we're all going through something. And some of us, it might be little things, some of us might be huge things. Sometimes there are little things that look like they're huge things, but the key is when we can take something really, really big and make it small because we believe God's going to take care of us. A spiritual person will take something that's big and make it small. A carnal person will take something that's small and make it really big because they're not trusting in the Lord to take care of things. They're making a bigger issue out of something that really doesn't mean as much as some of the bigger things, but we're just not trusting. Let's trust them with the little things, but let's also trust them with the big things. Remember, he says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. Don't be ashamed to call out to God, even when others can hear you. Don't do it for show, obviously, but speak to him even out loud, and he will hear you. Tonight, let him lift your head. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.